Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
What is it about a mortgage that makes people feel differently about it than any other debt? Because it's their home?
What is a mortgage? It's a simple contract. That's all it is. It's a contract.
And yet people do feel strongly about their mortgages. They'll go to heroic lengths to make sure that payment gets in on time every month, which makes it all the more surprising that so many people are giving up and walking away.
We stop making payments. We're left with very little choice in the matter. We can't, sell the house. So we're walking away. We're in the process of walking away now. Why don't you walk away?
Why don't you walk away? The housing crisis is over, but the market hasn't recovered. And when you can't sell your home and you owe more than it's worth anyway, I guess you walk away. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Monday, February 8th, and the takeaway for me is that is there something that makes it inherently more immoral for a homeowner to walk away from a mortgage than a corporation to walk away from one of their bad debts?
Well, real estate developers are walking away all the time. Why can't the little guy? That's for sure. Let's get right to the top stories this morning, and we're following a party. That's the sound of New Orleans fans celebrating their first Super Bowl win. The Saints upset the Indianapolis Colts 31-17 last night. Quarterback Drew Brees was named the game's most valuable player. He said it's a hugely meaningful win for the team, but also for the entire community in and around New Orleans.
What can I say? We played for so much more than just ourselves. We played for our city. We played for the entire Gulf Coast region. We played for all the entire Houdat Nation.
They played for the Space Shuttle Endeavour astronauts. The Endeavour blasted off this morning for the International Space Station on one of the last big construction missions for the International Space Station. Cloud cover that scrubbed Sunday's launch cleared in time for this morning's pre-dawn launch. Toyota's quality control issues are apparently doing damage to the resale market for the once highly praised cars, thanks to some unclear responses to safety questions. And with more than 90% of the votes counted in Ukraine's presidential election, the candidate who favors closer ties with Russia, the opposition, is in the lead. Iran has announced plans to speed up nuclear program plans. It's going to build 10 new enrichment plants next year. That's in the face of growing Western concern about its nuclear intentions.
Back here in the U.S., a huge blast rocked a power plant under construction in Connecticut. Latest reports say at least 5 people were killed in the blast and 12 injured. The explosion happened just before midday local time on Sunday. The authorities have ruled out terrorism. Hope Castor is a local resident.
It felt like shaking. I mean, there was a loud noise. I don't think I've ever heard a noise that was that loud. And the windows in my house actually shook.
Rescue operation continued into the night. And as we said earlier, the record numbers of homeowners are now defaulting on their mortgages. That's because nearly 11 million people owe more than their houses are worth. Marlene McGuire lives in Colorado. Marlene, you walked away from your mortgage. Why?
Because our house was worth more than what we wasn't worth as much as we owed.
So you are a former homeowner now. Are you renting?
Yes, we are.
Okay, we're going to talk more with Marlene McGuire in just a minute. Stay with us. Looking at the markets, the Dow is going to start at 10,012. The S&P begins at 1,066. And the NASDAQ will open at 2,141. So what did you take away from last night's Super Bowl?
My takeaway for the Super Bowl was the E-Trade commercials. That baby finally has new friends. He's traveling. He's even involved in a love triangle. He just gets more interesting every year.
That's our takeaway contributor, Delana Dixon, talking about her
takeaway. She
really
watches those commercials.
Yeah, we're asking
sure.
You, what was your take? Was it the Rise of the Saints or a commercial that you'll be watching all week on Hulu? Let us know it. 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can send us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org.
Coming up, as the values of homes continue to plummet, more and more Americans are walking away from their mortgage payments or short-selling their properties. In a minute, we'll talk to a financial expert who says that in some of these cases, it actually might be better to do what our friend Marlene McGuire did in Colorado, just walk away.
Americans are defaulting on their mortgages in record numbers. They're walking away from their homes. That's because almost 11 million people, 10.7 million, owe now more than their houses are worth. So people are voluntarily giving up their homes, even when they can afford the payments. We get calls from listeners about this all the time.
My name is Natalie Tafoya, and I own two properties. When the market kind of took a hit, I took a hit on each property, and they're so far upside down that there's no way I'm going to ever be able to recoup those costs. They're probably over $115,000 upside down, each of the properties, so I'm walking away.
Joining us now is Roger Lowenstein. He's a contributing writer for the New York Times Magazine and author of the upcoming book, The End of Wall Street. And with us again, Marlene McGuire. She lives in Colorado and walked away from her house when she and her husband could no longer afford their mortgage payments. Marlene, you said you walked away from your home because you were so far upside down. You actually worked with a company that's called You Walk Away, which takes consumers through the process of walking away from their mortgage. This is actually just going into foreclosure, correct?
Yes, that is true.
So what was that like, that decision for you, when you finally decided that it was time to cut your losses and walk away?
Very frustrating, because it was a house that we enjoyed being in, and after putting so much time and money into it, it's just very frustrating.
Roger Lowenstein, we hear a complaint like Marlene's all the time that banks will not work with them to modify their loans, and you have to wonder why not. Isn't it better for the banks to modify a loan with a consumer who will pay those payments than to try and sell it for a far less than the loan was for?
Yeah, good morning. Well, I think what happens many times is the bank and the homeowner sort of play a game of chicken. And the bank may send out threatening letters saying that they're violating the mortgage contract, or in some states they can threaten to go after the homeowner's other assets, such as automobile or savings account, although they rarely do so. The bank obviously is hoping that the homeowner, the person like Marlene, will pay the whole thing, obviously, and the homeowner is hoping they'll get a break, and sometimes they'll voluntarily walk away. Sometimes they'll get too close to the edge, and that's why we have hundreds of thousands of foreclosures every month.
Well, listen to Steve Walsh. He's a mortgage broker in Arizona, and he's talking about one of his clients.
I have a client that bought a house for $1 million that's now appraising for $400,000. Well, they're making a $7,000 a month payment on a house they can now rent for $2,000 a month down the street. If you go back a year, we had maybe one or two people tell us they were walking away. Now it's literally every day there are a couple people walking away. It just doesn't make sense anymore, because they've lost that hope.
Roger, we hear from not only the federal government, but from the heads of the housing association saying it is not right for people to walk away from mortgages, but they're losing money.
Yeah, what we have is a sort of a social disease. When we have millions of people who own homes that are, as in this example, priced at $1 million, now only worth $400,000, people aren't going to pay mortgage payments based on a price. It's 2.5 times current value, because it's obviously throwing money away. This isn't because millions of Americans suddenly became amoral or evil. We had a very bad system for pricing homes and for handing out mortgages, for which the mortgage industry was very much at fault, and the credit agencies were at fault, and Wall Street was at fault, and homeowners were at fault for taking mortgages that they couldn't afford. But the first responsibility belongs to the banker. It's the banker's responsibility to make sure that they're lending money that, that will be paid back.
Well, there's a lot of people doing the math here, Roger, and in many ways the realities are so stark that walking away loses its sting. Let me ask a question to Marlene McGuire for just a moment. Marlene, now, you went into foreclosure, but did you declare bankruptcy?
No, we didn't.
No. Okay, so then did the fact that you walked away from your house affect any of your other credit instruments, like your credit cards? Did it affect your credit rating? Did it make you unable to borrow for other reasons? What was the overall ripple effect?
Well, it did affect our credit rating. It did go down, and because we no longer were able to pay, we just didn't pay our payments to the home.
But it sounds like the sting wasn't that bad.
Well, it really is, because, when you don't pay your house payment, and then, we were trying to keep up with the credit card, and so it really did It was a big effect.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Roger, this is Gail Cunningham. She works for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling.
Yeah.
Back in the day, people would do anything to keep a roof over their head. It was really a matter of pride. You could wave the flag of home ownership. People had mortgage burning parties. And I think that people now need to understand that having your home foreclosed on is more than losing the roof over your head. And it's going to be very difficult to certainly buy another home or even rent a place to live if you have a foreclosure on your record.
These are the kind of things that you talk about in your article from the New York Times Magazine.
Back in the day when she talks about, we can wax nostalgic about it, the banker would look you in the eye, and how's your job, how's the wife and kids, where are you living, how's the bad ankle, and assess you and say, yeah, this guy can make his payments. Back in the day, these days, no one ever sees their mortgage broker. You get a mortgage, on the internet in 30 seconds, literally in 15 minutes. So the reason that all this is happening isn't that we have a new venal class of homeowners. It's because that whole back in the day system that she's waxing nostalgic about, that the mortgage bankers themselves did away with it. You know, they were just too eager to hand out mortgages to, anybody and everybody who wanted them or didn't want them. And that's why we're having this. It's we can all get teary-eyed about the mortgage burning parties, but the mortgage industry itself did away with that one.
Okay, but will they be able to rent a place after they get foreclosed?
Of course they will. You think the mortgage industry is going to turn their back on millions of customers? It's as with the other person you were talking to, John was interviewing, how many people default on a credit card and get a new one? The banking industry has decided they would rather make zillions and zillions of loans and write off, some fraction of zillions and keep making them. That day, I imagine it's going to continue to get worse
before it gets better. Roger Lowenstein, we have to end it there. He's a contributing writer to the New York Times Magazine. Marlene McGuire, former homeowner in Colorado. At 15 minutes past the hour, let's check in now on the headlines.
Early Mardi Gras in Houdat Nation. That's the sound of fans celebrating Bourbon Street in New Orleans as the city celebrates the Saints' first Super Bowl win. They beat the Indianapolis Colts 31-17. Damon Marbot runs a local restaurant in New Orleans. He says fans went wild.
Cheering, stomping, spraying beer everywhere. That was amazing. A lot of high fives. A lot of hugs,
which isn't exactly news in New Orleans, but it's certainly joyful. Meanwhile, this morning, Space Shuttle Endeavour took off from Cape Canaveral. It's going to be the last night launch for the shuttle. It's carrying an observation deck for the International Space Station. And rescue crews in Middletown, Connecticut spent the night going through debris after an explosion at a power plant yesterday. District Deputy Fire Chief Mark Fungami says they're still trying to determine how many people were in the building when the explosion took place.
Initially, it was thought there was approximately 50 employees or contractors or workers on scene. We don't know that as a hard number right now, and we're working to confirm numbers.
So far, 12 people have been injured, 5 killed. The blast could be heard and felt 30 miles away.
Most trains, planes, and buses in D.C. are still frozen in place as the cleanup continues after the Mid-Atlantic blizzard. The nation's capital is pretty well shut down again today with schools and even the government closed due to hazardous travel conditions. And President Obama says he'll convene a half-day health care session at the White House. It'll be televised late this month to try and break the political impasse on health care. That's a look at some of the stories that we're watching this morning. Coming up, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen recaps last night's Super Bowl with us.
He called it.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.